Welcome to Podcast Therapy. I'm your host, Suzanne Whitman. Let's face it, trying to find a new podcast is like going down the proverbial rabbit hole. But if you're listening to Podcast Therapy, I do the work for you by featuring favorite podcasts from friends, listeners, and even interviewing the podcasters themselves. Join me every week for a new episode because podcast therapy is cheaper than retail therapy. Hi, everyone. I wanted to let you know that as I transition this summer to an exciting new opportunity, this episode will be a little different. Back by popular demand, Justice is with me, and we'll be talking about what we're binge-watching now. If you're new to podcast therapy, go back and listen to my various guests and the array of topics we cover. I'm really grateful that my podcast is listened to by thousands of people worldwide. Hard to believe. Anyway, thanks again for listening, and enjoy this episode. Hey, Justice.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's going on?
You know, Sunday, lazy day.
Is it though? Really?
Hey, I had a busy Saturday. I cleaned the entire apartment and then got really drunk on accident at night. It was not while I was cleaning.
I did the same thing. I cleaned, but I didn't get drunk.
You're missing out.
So I think today is going to be a plethora of conversations, but you're back by popular demand.
Oh, I'm excited that people like me.
They do. So what are we going to talk about?
Well, I got a new job.
Yes, so let's talk about exciting. That. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm now with a nonprofit in Brown County called Achieve Brown County. And they are a kind of like a youth success organization. So they work a lot on kind of like that cradle to career outcomes, right? So third grade reading proficiency, high school graduation, post-secondary enrollment, all that kind of fun stuff. So I've been there for about 2 months now. So I'm finally settling in and they haven't fired me yet, which is probably good. Cause we all know that like, I don't do a really good job of like easing people into my personality. Like I show up on the first day and I'm like, what up motherfuckers? And they're like, oh my God, what did we do? But it's really exciting. Running the communication kind of like department for them. So it's kind of like a new leadership position for me, which is really, it's really fun. It's a lot of meetings. So I'm realizing that I don't like sitting in meetings, but I do really enjoy the work. So
that's awesome. That's so great. As you know, I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. And I too will be starting a new job come second week of July. And so really all I feel is that I just want to hang out outside when the weather is nice and do nothing basically.
Now I would normally agree with you, except it's going to be like in the 90s next week. And like your boy doesn't do the 90s. Like I'm good. Like unless I'm going to be like outside continuously sprayed with a garden hose, you will not find me outside when it gets above 87 degrees specifically.
So what are you going to do when it gets to 90 this week?
I turn on the air conditioner, which like, to be fair, is not only because I'm warm, but I am a seasonal allergy sufferer. So usually the air conditioning is way better than having the windows open. And then I just read normally. I'm a big reader, but otherwise Robert and I are usually doing some sort of project. So our wedding is coming up in November. So he's got me, you know, like stuffing envelopes and making gift bags and doing all sorts of fun stuff. So, but it's nice to have the quality time with him and not be like sweating.
Are you reading a book right now? Any book right now?
Yes. So I am reading a book called It's called The Shadow Rising, but it's actually part of a 14 book series, and it's the overarching series is The Wheel of Time, which recently became popular on Amazon, and I was actually, or Amazon Prime. So I watched the first season on Amazon Prime, and I thought, this is really cool. And one of the reasons why I got attracted to the show in the first place was because there was a trailer, and there was this woman, and she was doing all this, you know, she had all these powers, you know, and in the trailer, it was like all of the women have the magic in this world and the men don't. And I'm like, I'm here for this, right? Because like, fuck men, honestly, like as a man, I can confidently say like, fuck men. So I watched this and I started reading the series, and, you know, I thought I'm on book four, and it still holds my attention, and it's really good. So I don't know if I'll make it through all 14, because that is like quite the commitment, because it is like a fantasy series. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine, each book is like anywhere between 800 to 1100 pages of very tiny writing. So we'll see. I mean, I get through about one a month, I think, depending on how busy I get.
That's not so bad. I'm reading a book, and I got it on my birthday, which was May 11th, and I'm not done, but it's like whenever I get a minute, I pick it up and I read it, and I'm like, I need to get it done in a month, because this is crazy. Like, you know, and yeah, it's really good. It's a really good book, but it's just that I didn't have the time before. So now that I'm on vacation, I've been trying to read a little bit more. So, but talking about shows, we said we were going to talk a little bit about some of the shows that we were watching. Yeah. Did you watch the show that I asked you to watch?
So I didn't, but I feel like I have a perfectly good excuse. That's actually not a perfectly good excuse. But what happened was Robert also had a birthday recently. And there is a series that him and I both watched when we were younger called Teen Wolf. Now, I don't know. Yeah, so Teen Wolf, I believe it is like a remake when they redid it, you know, about 10 years ago or so. But we both loved watching the show. Now, here's the thing, though, right? So here's where the perfectly good excuse comes in. I bought it, the whole thing for him on Blu-ray for his birthday. But the reason why we watched the show when we were younger and why we started rewatching it is not because the action scenes have great graphics. It's not because the plot's amazing. And it's definitely not so we can catch all of the continuity errors. It's because every single man in this show is smoking fucking hot. And I will tell you, if you said, I'm going to watch an episode of Teen Wolf and I'm going to take a shot every time there is a shirtless man in the show, you would be fucking dead by two episodes, because there is just naked men all the time. And obviously like PG-13 naked men, you
right,
know?
Right.
But it's interesting because I do love the show, but it introduced me to this new term, and it's Pride Month. So we're going to learn a new term for Pride Month. It's a term called queer baiting. Okay. So queer baiting is almost exactly as it sounds. It's just that they jam pack the show full of extremely hot guys, and then they put them in kind of like sexual situations, right? So I feel like 30% of Teen Wolf is filmed inside of a locker room where there's like guys in towels and stuff. And it's literally just so gay people will watch it. And like, it works. You know, like it worked for me, it worked for Robert, it's working now, and it's been a long time since I've watched the show, but it is an interesting thing that they do in Hollywood. So,
That is interesting. I know I was listening to a different podcast and they were talking about a couple of shows. One that they mentioned was like a documentary about American Eagle. Did you watch that? Mm-hmm. And they just I didn't see it either, but they were just talking about how it was just blatantly full of very good looking people, both men and women. And they were just appalled at, basically it sounded like they only, American Eagle, the store, only wanted to hire like young, good looking teenagers. And if you weren't going to get a job, which, you know, is a form of bias and prejudice and most likely, you know, that's not, you can't do that. But that, and then someone else mentioned a show called Fire Island. Have you seen that?
So I have not yet seen Fire Island, but I have heard some interesting opinions on it. So what what have you heard?
I think the only thing I had heard, and I'm, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I think, is Margaret Cho on that show?
Yeah, I think she is. Okay. I watched the trailer. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even watch the trailer. I saw it pop up and then I was just like, there's so many things I wanted to watch. Like right now. Okay. Back up. I was supposed to watch a show. You were supposed to watch a show. We were going to talk about each other's shows. You didn't watch my show. I watched the first episode of your show.
You did better than me.
And then I was like, okay, and here's my excuse for why I didn't continue watching the show. Because that main character, he looks like a kid that my kids went to school with that was pretty much annoying to me. And I was like, yeah. I can't stop thinking about that kid. Like, I don't care how great he is as a character on this show, but you just look like so-and-so. And that's all I think about. And you were really annoying. So I was like, I have to stop watching. So yeah. So we both didn't do our homework. That's fun.
Yeah. It's whatever. Nothing new for me. I never did homework when I was in school either. Now Fire Island, that's an interesting one just because, you know, we watched the trailer and we thought, okay, you know, like maybe we'll watch it. And I asked my friend Chu about it and Chu was telling me that he watched it and, you know, it's an easy watch. It's got maybe some funny moments in it and stuff. But one of the things that he kind of pointed out to me that I always find very disappointing, especially when we're talking about LGBTQ movies and stuff, is how sex is portrayed. So let me elaborate a little bit. So it's kind of like this thing where when we watch these movies and stuff, and especially when some of it revolves around like sex or hooking up or being cool, like we're always talking about like men who have abs and they're, you know, they have blonde hair and blue eyes and they're ripped. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, there's like one character in Fire Island that considered like a bigger character, like a body size bigger, mm-hmm. and he has like no lines. He's like purely just kind of like supporting cast, like hanging around while all of the other like hot, and I'm using air quotes if you're only listening to this, guys are, you know, advancing the plot and doing things, you know, mm-hmm. so it's just really unfortunate because it just creates this sort of like almost subconscious like feeling that a lot of people have about people who are bigger. You know, it's like there's no body love in it. You know, it's a bunch of guys who are ripped saying that they look ugly. And you're like, okay, like whatever. So I did lose a little bit of interest in watching it just because of some of the more problematic things, I think. So
okay. Do you have a show that you recommend? Because I feel like this is today's show is going to be a little bit more about the stuff that we're watching. And the show that I wanted you to watch was called Made, and it was about a young woman. It's a limited series, so it's just, I think, one season. And it's about a young woman who realizes that she's in an emotional and verbal abusive marriage, and she's very young, and they have a daughter, and she tries to get away. She wants to get away from it. And then it's going through the hoops of like, when you go to a government agency saying, I need help and I don't have a job and I don't have money and I have a child and all this, it's like all these hoops, like in order for you to get a voucher for daycare for your child, you're going to need to have a job. You know, it's like, well, how do I get a job when I have this kid I have to take care of? So it's really realistic. And I could have cried a couple of times in it because they didn't sugarcoat the women's situations, including going to like a domestic shelter place. And, but it was really good. And for those people who have heard of Andy McDowell, she used to be a model back in the 90s. Like that was kind of the height of her career and then became an actress. It's her daughter who's playing the main character, and she plays her mom in the show as well. And then her daughter's daughter is really her daughter too. So it's kind of like, oh my gosh, this is like a whole thing. But it's really good. It's compelling. And there's a song that's, it has a really good soundtrack to it, and you can find it on Spotify, but there's a song that I heard, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is one of those, like, where you get the goosebumps on the arms. It's called, I think it's called The Joke from Brandi Carlile. Have you heard that song before?
No, oh. I haven't.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. You'll have to listen to that and let me know what you think. So that was a show that I wanted you to watch because I thought it was pretty compelling. And then you wanted me to watch, what was the name of the show that I watched that one episode?
Heartstopper.
That's it. Heartstopper.
Yeah. Well, Heartstopper is really interesting. I think for me and I guess some of the other things I've seen on TikTok, you know, from other people talking about their experiences, because I have fully been sucked into the black hole that is TikTok. And I'm not proud of it, but, you know, like, I am very much entertained by it. So Heartstopper is just really interesting because what I experienced while watching Heartstopper was I watched people who were in high school, and it's hard for me to watch high school shows, you know, because it's like, geez, I'm like 10 years older than those people now, you know, it's just weird for me. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because Heartstopper almost feels like they kind of lay out what it should have been when I was in high school, right? It's mm-hmm. about this ability to explore what your sexuality is and to be able to like question like who you are and how to kind of do that in a more healthy way than what we see a lot of teenagers, both now when I was in high school and decades ago, what we had to go through, you know, so mm-hmm. being closeted, not being able to be out, not being able to explore our identities because of, you know, really the fear of violence, verbal violence, bullying, physical violence, like whatever. So, but the show really, I think, hits on a couple of things. But yeah, one of the characters just kind of goes through really just trying to figure out like what his identity is and like where he is in the world and stuff. And it's just, it's nice because, well, it made me cry, not in like a bad way, but like in a good way, because I was like, fuck, is that what my life was supposed to be like? Was it supposed to be that nice? And so I think just like a lot of gay people kind of identify, and a lot of people in the queer community in general identify, they're, you know, they have a trans girl on the show as well. And just the way that she's kind of able to like express her identity and stuff like that, it's kind of a little reminder of like what the world should be, but it's also like realistic at the same time, right? So obviously the characters who are queer, like they still get bullied a little bit and they still have issues and things like that, but also like it's high school, you know? Mm-hmm. So we kind of expect people to just be dicks in high school, because I personally feel like all high schoolers are dicks, you know, no offense to anybody who's got kids.
No, that's the rite of passage, don't you think? I mean,
yeah,
I think that that's something that just happened. I mean, if you talked about high school and said you didn't get bullied, it's probably because you were the bully. Like, I mean, there's always going to be bullies, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you were that popular kid, you know, and you didn't have those experiences, and, you know, I think like it is part of it. You know, I just think like a lot of times what we see it with marginalized populations is like higher rates of those bullying instances, and a lot of times in certain places with queer people, it's just they're not connected to each other, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So sometimes being a part of a racial marginalized population, depending on if there's other students even like you at school, you're still able to get connected a little bit easier because it's not something that can even be closeted, right? So like gay people are learning, or queer people in general are learning how to like be themselves and be authentic, but then like they're not surrounded by it their whole lives, right? So like mm-hmm. if a lot of times for people who belong to racial marginalized populations, they still grow up in a household with people like them, with family like them, sometimes with friends like them, people around, like they're kind of surrounded by like what their culture is, but mm-hmm. where LGBTQ people kind of like, sometimes you don't enter the community or that culture until you're like 50, you know, because there's people who could be closeted. You know, I just was talking to somebody who came out like just 2 years ago and they're 57. Wow. And it's like, I can't believe, you know, that the world made them feel like they needed to like essentially lose more than half of their life and not be able to be who they were as a person, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's a very interesting show though. I think it's really good. It's super cute. I mean, personally, it was like also one of those things where I was like, damn, like not that I want to be back in high school, but like if I could have this, like I would so be right. Like cute high school romance, like show up to your house in the pouring rain, you know? And I'm like, oh, stop. Like, just stop, you know? Like what, you know, like I love Robert to death. You know what I mean? But it's like, there's nothing, like when you have been together for years, like they're not showing up at your house in the pouring rain. You know what I mean? And yeah. It's like, oh, it's just very cute. So
you're such a romantic.
I am such a romantic. So when Robert and I like first started dating, I like literally told him that I was having a bad day one day, and he sent one of his coworkers to my work with like this whole bouquet of flowers. Now this is like romantic in two different ways, right? So like the first, obviously like, it's romantic because he got me flowers, you know, like I'm here for that. But it was also romantic because he had somebody else deliver them because like he didn't want to pay the delivery charge. And I was like, girl, same though. Like honestly, like catch me delivering my own flowers. Like, and they're going to be the $10 ones from Pick and Save because like, I want to be cute, but like a bitch trying to be cute on a budget. Gas is $5 a gallon. Okay, like calm down. So, but I'm such a romantic, and I think though, like I'm this weird combination of like romantic and then like also kind of like you, right? Because you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, let's go have a picnic, you know, like let's watch the clouds and lay on the grass. And then like I lay on the grass and I'm like, ew, this is fucking itchy. Oh my god, is that fucking ant on me? And I'm like, No, I can't fucking do this. Where's the nearest picnic bench? You know, and then I'm like, God, looking at the sky, like, hurts my neck. You know, like, I don't want to watch the clouds with you. My fucking neck hurts. Like, so, yeah. I mean, it's just this weird combination, but maybe I'm just more of a romantic in my head than I am realistically. I don't know. So.
Okay, so speaking of romantic shows, so there is a show that I'm watching on Netflix, and I don't know if you're into any kind of romantic shows or if you're very particular about what you're watching, but have you, did you hear about the movie? It was a movie called The Time Traveler's Wife?
Yes.
It was a book to start, uh-huh. And then the movie came out a couple years ago with Rachel McAdams, and I think it was Eric Bana is his name. Now they've turned it into a series.
Yep.
And oh my gosh. Now this is on HBO Max, I think. And mm-hmm. oh my gosh, they let like the new episodes come out on Sunday nights and it's so good. And you know, you were just talking about the whole like, okay, when you know somebody for so many years, like maybe that it's not romantic, but like he keeps like in these episodes, he keeps popping up at like different ages, unlike the movie. And he could also run into himself. So it'll be like, they'll be writing on the screen and it'll say, his is terrible because I can't remember his name, but whatever his name was, it'll say he's like 28 and he's 41 and he's whatever. And it's so cool, but it is, and it's, I don't know, I guess it's a little bit more, okay, I don't know how you can say time travel is real, but more than the movie because there's so much details, but it is very romantic.
Well, it's interesting because there's actually only one, there's only one reason why I know about this show. So if you're in it, hey, shameless plug, if you're ever interested, LGBTQ Nation, they send out like a daily newsletter about just like things that are happening like in the queer world. So okay. Sometimes it's political, sometimes it's about pop culture, you know, like they, just like a daily rundown of the top news stories. So like Rebel Wilson was in there the other day, like, welcome to the community, girl. I always wanted you. She'll be getting her membership card in the mail.
So what is she saying? She's saying that she's queer?
She's a lesbian. So you, okay, so hold on. Let's backtrack to the romantic part. Because she posted on her Instagram this announcement that she has a girlfriend and she's a lesbian. And one of the things she said was, I've spent my entire life searching for my Disney prince, but it turns out that what I really needed was a Disney princess. And I was like, that's so fucking cute. Like, I love it. So she'll be getting her membership card in the mail. We just laminated it. So, and she'll be on the next gay agenda meeting. We just haven't set the agenda yet. We're all a little busy because it's Pride Month.
Well, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So introductions, usually new queer introductions is usually right before we get into like how we're going to brainwash children. So I don't know, like, if she wants to give a speech or not, but, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, these little fucking kids running around that we're supposed to be indoctrinating, so she's going to need to do a quick introduction. But anyways, here's the only reason why I know about this is because LGBTQ Nation did a quick article on it, because in one of the episodes, the main character goes back in time to see his teenage self.
Stop! And he... I know what you're going to say. Yes, and we're not going to spoil it for those who haven't watched it yet. It was kind of a shocker. And yeah, people are just going to have to watch it because it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, wow. So anyway, yes, that did happen.
I mean, I'm just saying that there are probably a high percentage of individuals who would take that opportunity if they could. So, but I don't know if that's really like romantic, but it's kind of romantic. I don't know. But that's the only reason why I heard about the show.
Okay. So two other shows that I'm watching, because, you know, again, like when I'm on vacation now, I'm like, it's okay that I binge watch shows, right? Like, there's no guilt. So the other one, I don't know how interested you'd be in this, but the other one is the series, and I think it might be HBO Max, but it might be Netflix. It's the story about Julia Child. Did you ever watch the movie Julie and Julia? Or, okay, do you know who Julia Child is?
No. Girl, that sounds like some old things. I don't know. Do people under 30 know who she is? Should I know who she is? What did she do?
Okay. So Julia Child. Yeah, you can Google her.
I'm Googling it right now because
as we're talking.
Okay.
Julia Child was a renowned chef. But really it's because she was basically the first person to be on public television doing a cook show. So I really think she was what kind of inspired like Food Network. And there was a movie that came out called Julie and Julia with Amy Adams a couple years ago, and Meryl Streep played Julia Child. And then now there's a series, and it's, again, what's cool with the series part is there's more details to it, but I'm not surprised you don't know, but I really do think that she's kind of iconic and you should know about her. But she's very whimsical. I think when I first heard about her when I was younger, I thought, is she drunk? Because she has this like, the way that she talks is kind of quirky. Yeah. But she's actually just very funny. And I think according to what I'm watching, is she and her husband were like very passionate individuals. And he was like, I don't know if he was like an ambassador or an attaché to like a foreign country, because that's where they were living in Paris or in France. And so she wanted to learn French cooking and she didn't speak the language. So it's a whole thing. So anyways, I started watching that, which I think that's my foodie in me, where I'm like, oh, this is kind of like history, but fun. So I'm watching that, and it's called Julia. And then the other one is called The Flight Attendant. And it's with Kaylee Cuoco. Did you ever watch the show The Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
The blonde girl.
Yeah. I don't know actor name.
I think it's Kaylee Cuoco. This is terrible because I never watched The Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. And she's like on one of those commercials, like, I don't know if it's Expedia or Travelocity or one of those, but she does all those travel commercials.
Oh, yeah. Kaylee Cuoco.
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 Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's called The Flight Attendant, and it's basically kind of like a murder mystery series thing. Mm-hmm. And she's just this normal person that you later find out is actually an alcoholic, and she's really good in it. She's really good. It's very compelling. Okay. And I just started today. I started season two, and season one, I was just like, oh my gosh, like what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So there's some recommendations for you.
Now I give you a anti-recommendation. So there's this show on Netflix that we watched. I think it's only like 8 episodes long. So by the time we got a couple episodes in, we, you know, decided we might as well just finish it or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I always mess up the name because it's literally the most fucking ridiculous thing. But it's like the girl in the house in the window across the street from the woman in the window or something like that. Like, it is literally the most ridiculous fucking thing.
Is it but on it's Netflix?
It's on Netflix. And okay. That's like literally the title. It's so long. And we started watching it, and we were maybe like an episode or two in, and we're like, not really sure what's going on, but there's only like 8 episodes. So we're like, all right, fuck it. Like, we'll just finish it, you know? Yeah. And then we finished it, and I was like, that was like the stupidest thing that I've ever watched.
See, like, this is really interesting because, and we, as you can see, we don't have too much time left, but it's interesting because I have a friend who said to me, when it comes to like series on Netflix, for example, or podcasts, she wants to start from the beginning and she mm-hmm. won't jump anywhere else and she has to finish it. I'm like, I can't even tell you how many things I've started.
Yeah.
Or started in the middle, like a podcast, and then like backtracked. And I'm like all over the place. So are you one of those people, like you have to start it and then you have to finish it?
No, I'm not. I think that part of it has to do with, like Robert and I, when we watch things together, like we usually will watch it all the way through. But like when I'm just watching stuff or even just like reading something, because I feel like it's the same. It's like I don't usually consume anything that I don't like, because even if I'm reading a book and I'm halfway through, I'm like, this is fucking dumb. And then I'm like, life is too short for stupid books. So yeah. Then like I just give it to somebody for their birthday, because like if I have to suffer, they have to fucking suffer, right? It's like anytime I watch one of those like videos on TikTok that like make me cry, I send it to my friends, and they're like, why would you send me that? Because like now I'm crying. And I'm like, because I didn't want to be the only one. Like, okay, like it's called shared trauma for a reason. Yeah, but I will walk away. I mean, I have so many things that I've walked away from, and people will be like, you got to finish. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I will also walk away from a series if it gets too long and it just doesn't hold my interest anymore. Like, I think I watched like 8 seasons of Shameless before I stopped watching it, although I think they might be done now. I'm not sure. And I watched 11 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. Then I stopped watching it. Robert still watches that. They're on like season 19. And then I actually watched NCIS when it first came out, and I watched like 11 seasons of NCIS. But you know, so for those of you don't know, like Naval Criminal Investigative Services, so they investigate these crimes within the Navy, etc. And a lot of what they would investigate would be like murders and stuff, right? But mm-hmm. it's only the Navy. So they yeah. only have jurisdiction in the Navy, right? So then you turn on an episode, you're on like season freaking 10, and you're like, how many petty officers, which are like naval officers, can be murdered in such a short amount of time? Like, if this was like real life, we would all be like, what the hell is going on in the
Get
Navy?
Off
like,
the boat. All,
right. I'm like, nobody is going to be joining the Navy because y'all motherfuckers get murdered. Like, every episode, we got a dead petty officer. And I'm like, oh my God, do we even have a Navy anymore? Or are they all fucking dead? Like, I don't know. But they're now on season like 20 fucking something. Oh, and I'm like, seriously, what the hell, like, how many of your petty officer, like, you cannot have a Navy anymore. Like, the Navy's dead. It's gone. If NCIS was, like, real life. So,
well, speaking of murders, because we're going to have to go soon, which makes me so sad. I do want to do a plug, and I really think I should get paid for this. The second season of Only Murders in the Building is going to be coming out, and that's on Hulu with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez, who we absolutely adore. June 28th is the start of season two, and it was amazing. And like you said, if there's only murders on a ship in the Navy, this one's only murders in the building. So if you haven't seen that, it's cute. It's really cute. It's fun. And it's absolutely worth a watch. So, but hey, I have to go, but I want to say thank you for sharing all this stuff, which didn't really have much to do with podcasts, but it's, you know, it's just fun to talk.
It's entertaining.
It is. It is. All right. Well, Justice,
all right.
You take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, thanks for listening, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or follow me wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you like the episodes, leave me a review so others can find me too. As for the podcast, I'm taking a little hiatus due to a job change, as you heard me mention in this episode. I'm hoping to be back soon, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support this podcast, feel free to buy me a coffee. See the show notes for details on how to do this. For everything else, like questions and suggestions, you can DM me on Instagram. I hope you have a great summer, and thanks again for listening to Podcast Therapy.